The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Monday, the 7th of December 2020, and we're with you till 10 o'clock. The text number today is 55551 because it is cold. I think it may have been the coldest weekend of the year so far. Today I reached into a drawer that I didn't think I'd ever have to reach into for a long time. In the drawer is my Aran jumper. I had to get that out of here because when I put it away the last time, I said it's never going to be cold again. But sure enough, it's cold enough for it, so get it out and get it on. And here we are. Hope you all had a lovely weekend. I tell you, they needed to hand out Aran jumpers to the gang at the panel watching the match yesterday watching Mayo doing a job at Croke Park. The four of them looked like they were going, they looked like four icicles in wigs. They were kind of flapping themselves. They had masks and gloves and hats and everything. I don't know why they put them outside. you're going to Croke Park, you are, yep. No one else can go, but we're going to make you stand outside. And you're going to suffer for your craft. And they did, and they were brilliant. And well done to Mayo, that was a great win. And can they possibly dare to dream that big? We shall see. Good old story. If you go down to the woods tonight, be careful that you don't feed the deer. I see Dr. Sean Boyle is a biologist working in community engagement. He said, please don't feed the deer in Phoenix Park. Don't, because they're supposed to be grass and not carrots. So they'll get malnourished then. And then you'll create competition for food. Then they're going to fight and injure each other, at each other, given out to each other, because somebody fed them carrots. And you'll create more points of contact, which can also spread disease. So don't bring the carrots to the deer in the Phoenix Park. They don't need it. They don't want it. And Marie was on from Scholarstown to say, said, I heard someone on Friday's show appealing to people not to lick the envelope for their Christmas cards because of you know what. So I'm going to sellotape mine and write NTTTG underneath, which is no tongue touched this gum. Happy Christmas. Sensible person that you are. Liz Carolyn tweets a very simple question. Do you know what I miss most? And then answers it. Divilment. You don't have to have a divilment-free zone just because of a pandemic, surely. I see Andrew Lloyd Webber has been out to say that he's hugely optimistic about the return of audiences after the vaccine rollout. This is the green shoots that we'll be expecting in springtime this year. And not only nature at work, but also the vaccine at work. And he has revealed that most of his theatres will be open again by early next summer. This is exciting because if it's going to happen on the West End, it's got to happen all over the country here. All these empty theatres, as they say, gone dark. It's time for the lights to come on again. And he said previews of his new musical will begin at the end of April. Phantom of the Opera will be back in June. The musical adaptation of Frozen, the Disney film, will begin in spring. Back to the Future, the musical. What? I didn't know that was a thing, but it is. That's going to come in June. Matilda will come back to Covent Garden in spring. This is very good news. I mean, they're very optimistic, obviously, about that. And I hope it's all true. There's an intriguing review of Les Mis, which did come back at the weekend in the most COVIDian way possible. And as Jan Morris writes, at the final curtain call, Michael Ball said it was the most amazing first night of his career. And let me tell you that the audience at the Sondheim Theatre felt very much the same way. She said, despite the fact, as musical theatre fans know, Les Mis is not for the faint-hearted. After only 15 minutes, Fantine has turned to prostitution, had her hair chopped off, and is dreaming a dream of a better life. A dream denied. Next, little Cosette is lost and scared in the forest. Eponine loses her love and her life, while ex-convict Valjean continues to crash about, staring into the void and the whirlpool of my sin. That's some crack for a Saturday night out, eh? And on it goes. How did the cast and crew manage to put the show on while following government health lines, guidelines? Well, by pouring a great deal of energy, creative ingenuity and generosity into the project. The big stars worked for a fraction of their usual fees. The performers were distanced on stage. And they sang at stand microphones out into the audience rather than to each other. Oddly enough, she says, I thought it added to the drama rather than diluted it. And the orchestra were high above the stage rather than stuck in the grimy germinations of the pit, and the tickets had staggered arrival times to avoid queues or crushes, while drinks and snacks had to be pre-ordered online, collected in paper bags and consumed in the auditorium. It's a bit of a hack, but do you know what? You'd nearly do it just to get in there. Upon arrival, theatregoers were temperature tested and shepherded through a one-way system to their socially distant seats by staff who were cheerful and helpful behind their plastic visors. And through some mathematical miracle, you could book tickets in your family bubble and arrive to find empty places on either side of your party. And yes, it was slightly unsettling to look around and see everyone in their masks in this gilt-edged enclosed space, but all was forgotten in the grand emotional sweep of the evening. At the end of the tearful night, Alfie Bowe waved when he left the stage, and I foolishly found myself waving back. It was that kind of night. It was that kind of show. So it's possible to do it with the right space and the right compliance. But it will all come back, when hopes, to normal. Those of you who have watched or might be watching The Crown will have taken note that Netflix has said that they are not going to put disclaimers on the episodes. It is very interesting to watch it because it's sumptuous to watch and great drama and great politics. But I keep finding myself asking the question throughout it, going, did that really happen? Did they really? And now it's a drama, and the people behind the drama are saying, look, you're not stupid. You know that we've embellished that. It's based broadly on history. But I don't know if that's quite fair enough. I'd nearly like to a fact check after every episode to say, that bit's real, that bit's real, that bit's real, and the rest of it is. But either way, it's engaging, it's intriguing, but they're not going to put anything on that because they are fed up probably of hearing from people giving out. People like Karens. You know, the Karens haven't gone away, you see. If you don't know what the Karens are, there's poor Karens of Ireland. Our sympathies with you because your names got caught up in a slipstream of popular culture and unpopular people and even less popular names because a Karen is now symbolises the middle-aged woman who gives out about everything. The Karen is the person who wants to speak to the manager. That's who Karen is. And that name has stuck. And now Karens are trying to, you know, Debbie Downer was in there and Negative Nancy. These names tend to follow Jimmy Nomates, whoever it might be. And the names will follow. But the poor old Karen, which I didn't realise comes from a Scandinavian background when it was a derivative of a Catherine with a K that simply meant pure. Well, it seems it's pretty much the opposite. It's synonymous with an outdated, asymmetrical pixie bob, a haircut reminiscent of early 2000s pink, along with a compulsive tendency to ask for the manager, combined with a gentle air of entitlement. Karen, that's who you are. Popularised through memes and hashtags, it has also been a response to a particular privileged behaviours at a particular point in time. And Karen was a popular girl's name some 50 to 60 years ago, peaking in popularity in 1965, which is why most Karens are now middle-aged. And they're fighting back. They've had enough. And good luck with their fight back. It's kind of funny. Karen's had enough. And she's fighting back. She'd like to speak to the manager. All right, poor old Karen. She's never going to win, is it? The most beautiful voices in, I suppose, Britain have been announced. Among the top 10 are David Tennant, who you know from Doctor Who, and Idris Elba from Luther. Brian Blessed, mad as a box of frogs, is in there. Helen Mirren's in there. Trevor McDonald's in there. And Ian McKellen is in there. But the top three are, in reverse order from three, number three, Joanna Lumley. Number two, Stephen Fry. And number one, David Attenborough. All of whom have been guests on this programme or the TV. And all actually very lovely people. And they're right. Their voices are absolutely dreamy, to say the least. Sam and Drogheda has been on to say, another one, Ryan. The envelope man could just put N Swalk on the stickers, not sealed with a loving kiss. Absolutely. Just left alone. Today, we shall be talking about many things, but we'll also be giving away a nice prize to do with animals because we're celebrating a new club, which is called Pet Fix, which is an online subscription-based community of pet lovers for pet lovers. And we know, anytime we mention dog or cat in this program, you all go bonkers because most of you, at least, love your dogs and your cats and you love talking about them and telling us about them. And why not? So this club was created by a team of trusted animal experts, including well-known Irish vet Pete Wedderburn. You can head to petfixclub.com if you want to know more. It's a unique online community of animal professionals. They give club members exclusive access to personalised advice for their pets as well as professional tips for your pet's lifestyle and well-being. So we'll have an animal crackers quiz on that a little later on. I won't give you the details just yet, but just to put you on notice for later. Anyway, because I'm buzzing about Elvis these days, and we did I Will Always Love You last week, and the response to Mark Lean, the Emerald Elvis's version of Dolly's I Will Always Love You, was just beautiful. And I listened to a lot of Elvis over the weekend, like Christmas Elvis, which you could do worse things to listen to. But as we were talking about animals today, I was saying to the lads, has anyone heard Elvis Presley singing Old MacDonald Has a Farm? I said, no. So I did my bad Elvis imitation. If I'm about to do it, but I don't think I'll do it just yet. Maybe later on. Maybe after the Christmas party, we'll have a bit of Elvis doing that. But he did. He did a version of it. And I wanted to share it with you. Not the whole thing, because your life's too short. But just, why not? I'm gonna have a party. E-I-E-I-O. How do you think E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck cluck here, a cluck cluck there. A moo moo here, a moo moo there. And a whack knock here, and a whack knock there. And I can promise you, those animals never get out of line. We'll have a mulligan stew. That'll do. A mulligan stew for Elvis, and that will be our animal tune of the day for our Pet Fix Club competition. We'll get to that later on. A COVID-free way to seal envelopes is a pastry brush and a saucer of water. No need to tape. You're welcome. Happy Christmas, Janet. That is an excellent suggestion and kind of neat as well. I like that. Is there an equivalent male name, asks somebody for Kieran. Can't think of one. That says something about the trend. So this is for the man who's just a pain and who wants to speak to the manager. Nothing's quite right. We'll try and find it out. And thank you for that. We'll come to more of those a little later on. But at 9:15, let's kick us off today with a piece of music that always reminds me of this time of the year, even though it's not necessarily a Christmas song. It's a cover from the 1980s. I rather like it. It's The Christians. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. Good to have you with us. Love that. That's Harvest for the World from The Christians. And 19 minutes past 9 this Monday morning. Very excited about this. I know it's only Monday, but this Friday we have Dolly Parton on The Late Late Show. And we're going to make it a big country special with all our friends. And I just think it's going to be absolutely gorgeous. Our music supervisor, Mr. Dermot McAvoy, was talking to Trudy Lawler yesterday. He described it perfectly. He said, it's a great night out in your sitting room. And that's what's going to happen this Friday. If you plan it that way. Like the kids plan the toy show. If you want a country music special in your own room this Friday night, you don't need to be streaming anything. Just put on the television, 9:30, and you'll see Dolly and Una Healy and Daniel O'Donnell and Nathan and Margot and the Three Amigos and Philomena Begley and Sandy Kelly and all that. It's just, they're such a good bunch of people and so much fun. I think you'll really enjoy it. So stay tuned. When I was a child, says a text, sealed envelopes at Christmas indicated great excitement as it meant money. Money inside, so there really is no need to lick them. From Karen, one of the pure ones in Ballytor. Good woman. That Christian song, says another, reminds me of evenings returning on the bus from night classes in Bolton Street in the late 80s, listening on my cassette Walkman. Good man. Alan, I had one of those, if not a few of those myself. Just took the flap of the envelope inside for a card. There used to be a cheaper stamp if you did this, and it was the norm for card. Yeah, I remember that more. I'm afraid to say, using Karen as a lazy way for misogynists to keep older, assertive women in their place. This is a text, obviously, from it would seem, Karen, to stop them from speaking up when they should. When men use it, they always sound threatened and insecure, and I cringe for them. A woman stood up for herself, deal with it instead of resorting to name calling. And that's from Karen. I don't know if that's ironic or if it's somebody trolling me or if it's a very sincere message. I'm completely confused. Either way, thank you for taking the trouble. The male version of Karen could be Nigel. Okay, I mean, I don't know why, but if you say so, I'll go with it. Karen in Dublin 15 says, my name is Karen, yes, and my daughter's friends refuse to use Karen in that way. They use Linda because they said I'm too nice. So sorry to any Lindas, I feel your pain. Okay, well, that was nice of them to adjust the name usage in that case. See, Jeff Bezos says his space company will send a woman to the moon's surface for the first time. You remember the first woman to have flown into space was from Russia, Valentina Tereshkova, on the Vostok 6 in 1963. But she never got to land on them. There's never been a woman landed on the moon. So fair play. That would be very interesting. He's the man behind Amazon. The billionaire announced his intention on Instagram, posting a video of an engine test at NASA the Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. And he said this BE-7 is the engine that will take the first woman to the surface of the moon. The engine has been developed by Mr. Bezos' space company, Blue Origin, and has had 1,245 seconds of test fire time. I don't know what that means, but I suspect it's probably a good thing. We spoke to Commander Hatfield, didn't we, on Friday night. Chris Hatfield joined young Adam King for a chat. Two lovely people at different ages of their lives, but just good eggs all around. So, yeah, space is in the air. Yeah, okay, 51551 is the text number. I have plenty more to talk about. I have a guest I want to introduce you to, and we'll do so after this. At 25 past nine this Monday morning, if you want to get involved with our Pet Fix Club competition, get busy now by calling 1850 715 900 if you have a cat, a dog or a goldfish. We'd love to hear from you. And we will ask you some questions, and if you get them right, you're in for quite the treat. The doggy treat. 1850 715 900. Get busy if you wouldn't mind.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right. Celebrities admitting they have dark days help those of us to admit we have them too and do something about it. Thank you, Eric. Well said, and wish you well, whoever you might be. My mother-in-law is 90 today, says a text. She lives in Cove in County Cork. Unfortunately, there will be no gatherings, gosh, for her 90th. Her name is Chris Murphy. If you get time on the show, you might send her birthday greeting. I'm delighted to, from Olivia and Kevin and all of us. Happy birthday to you, and I hope you have a lovely day, Chris. Couldn't agree more with the woman who texted in, calling out this name-calling of women who assert themselves for what it is. It's misogynistic, it's offensive, it's pathetic. Assertive women and men alike complain, assert, articulate, nothing shameful in that for either sex. Women are not dolls. It's about time the people, who brandish these names did some growing up. Thought you might like to know, I had dinner. You had dinner with Valentina Tereshkova, the first woman in space that you mentioned. This is from, Debbie Deegan the Great. Lovely to hear from you. It was last year in St. Petersburg. She's 83, just incredible. Her husband was also a cosmonaut. So you can imagine that kitchen table chat. I know you like details, and I thought you may like that. I love that, Debbie, and happy Christmas to you and yours. Thank you for that. Really nice to bring it somewhere else entirely. They only spoke about Kathy Spillane in last night's Fair City, or Cahill, I think you mean, yeah, in So Maybe He'll Be Back Soon. Here's hoping. Wonderful and refreshing interview with Eric Lawler. We wish him the best. Thank you. It's really nice to hear that. And I hope Eric hears that too. Good morning, Ryan. Good morning. This is regarding The Crown. It's all very well for those of us who lived through the history of its more contentious episodes or arcs, but we have to remember that we're desperately old now, according to my husband at least, and the young ones don't have the same perspective or knowledge. Do they watch TV or streaming critically? I suspect not. A cynical Elwyn at 43, Vicky. P.S. The text from Karen about lazy, cringy misogyny is dead on. Everyone wants people to be kind, except to middle-aged women. That is interesting. So middle-aged women are just fed up with this characterization of them as being Karens and think it's, that's, yeah, okay. So it's suddenly not funny anymore, and not that it ever was for some people. Okay, I understand that. I understand that entirely. The time at 18 minutes to 10. I think I'll go with Dermot Kennedy's moment on the Toy Show was just really very, very gorgeous. But he's madly, he made number one twice on last week's official Irish charts. The new album, Without Fear, went to number one. The single Giants claimed the top spot for the first time following his appearance on the Toy Show. So it's a week of records for Kennedy, according to RTE.ie. His chart double marks the first time in 10 years that an Irish act has reached number one on both the official Irish singles and album charts in the same week. Because he knocked himself off the number one spot. It's like, all very inception. He is also the only Irish soloist to ever manage the feat since digital records began in 1997. The script did it in 2010, the double. And on the singles chart, Giants jumped 11 places to the top, replacing his own song at the top. And so Kennedy is the first Irish act to claim more than one number one single in a calendar year since Jedward in 2011. Anyway, good guy all around, and why not play him this morning?
We used to be giants.
There he is, Dermot Kennedy and Giants. Actually, Dermot's auntie, Mary Kennedy, who we all love, is joining her with her own charity single with her sister Deirdre. How about that? She has a song called Life is a Beautiful Dance, and it's written by none other than Don Meskell as a gift for her. And they're raising money for Family Carers Ireland, which is a charity she's a patron of, along with the magnificent Marty Whelan. And Don came to see to her with a song he wrote when he watched her fancy footwork with her professional dance partner John Nolan during her stint on Dancing with the Stars, according to evoke.ie. And this is an opportunity to raise awareness and also money, so you can head to familycarers.ie. So good luck to Mary with that in musical endeavour. It's very nice indeed. Listening to Eric doing the takeaway deliveries, says Anna, who says some people don't tip. I always tip, but due to COVID and lack of having cash, I can't do it now. And I do feel guilty, as I really appreciate what they do. Yeah, the people, it's like buskers, or sometimes you want to help somebody who might be down the look on the street. It's just access to that ready cash isn't as common as it used to be. My daughters have just discovered vinyl and found my husband's small remaining collection, listening to the Blondie album, Crackles and All, and brought back great memories. Yeah, you can't go wrong. We've got to take a quick break before we talk pets. Thank you for the text. When ordering over phone for takeaway nowadays, Madeline says, we are told to use contactless payments indeed. Because if this, I assumed tips, because of this, I presumed tips were included. So I'm mortified now to know this is not the case, and I'll certainly be tipping from here on in. Okay, and lots in on Karen's, actually. Mam celebrated her 90th last month. We asked friends, says Katrina, and family to make a WhatsApp video. Brother put it all on DVD, and she's getting endless pleasure from watching it. That's a great idea. Greetings from Ireland, England, Australia, and America. Made her happy. So that's good news and a very smart thing to do. That's where we leave it for this Monday morning. It's been lovely having your company today. Stay tuned for Claire Byrne. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.